So as we saw, little Jack-Jack had a lot of changes going on, growth stimulated by, was it Mozart, I think that was, and flashcards. Everything was a cause and effect. So I really am excited to be able to speak today at the back end of this sermon series Barry roped me into, because I did want to be a part of this incredible family journey. He's been talking about what it takes to be an incredible family and become an incredible family, and that applies to our families at home and our family here as a church. So, first things first, when you guys, because this is a Children's Sunday and we are going to have the children up here, I expect it from all of you, because what I'm about to say is important for every single one of you, but we're going to be a little interactive. I've got some questions, and I'd love to hear some answers. When you guys think of growth for Christians, what is the first thing that comes into your mind?
Fruit.
Hmm?
Bearing fruit.
Bearing fruit, yep. But there's a specific language, a specific term we use often. Well, no. Kids probably know, right? Our spiritual growth. You've heard that term before. We use it all the time, and often we don't always fully comprehend it, but we're here to talk about our spiritual growth. And as we know that growing up, starting from Jack-Jack's age, we go through many different types of growth, right? Our bodies grow, we get taller, fatter, smarter, sometimes dumber, depending on what happens to us. But we're going through a lot of changes in our day-to-day lives. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of that growth, but we're also going to focus in on spiritual growth. So if you guys want to go ahead, if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 John 2:12. And this is where we're going to be spending the entirety of this morning, this passage. So you guys can stay right there. You don't have to be flipping back and forth. So I'll go ahead and read down through, starting at 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So we get to see three stages in the Christian walk that John is talking about. John, at this point in his life, is probably in his 90s. And so he's talking to all these younger generations that have become Christians and are stepping out on faith. And the first stage that we talk about is the little children. Jack-Jack is a little child. But for Christians, there's a couple of things that we need to know as we are in this stage. Because we were all babies, yes, but when we started to pursue the Lord and we just started to say, I believe this. The Lord is my Savior. We became Christians for the first time. We became new people. And at this point, we're children, little ones. And the first thing he says is, and we'll skip down through the verses and we'll lay them out specifically as the little children, the young men, and the fathers. And I'll remind you guys that though we're constantly using the masculine in young men and fathers, it's speaking about humanity. So I'm not just talking about men, I'm talking about humanity. So this applies to everyone. So firstly, for the little children, what is the first thing that, as Christians, we should learn and know that's true of God? At this stage, what does he say here? Well, yes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. these two things, two main points. He says the sins are forgiven, and he says because you know your father. So when a baby is born, and the nurse, whoever it is, the doctor, gets that baby, they wrap them up, and they right away put them on their mother. Maybe they clean them up a little bit first. But the first thing they want to do is get them close to a parent. And this helps the child bond again with the parent and really truly know who the parents are. And as Christians, we have to see God first. We have to say, this is what this is about. It's not about, you know, there are so many secondary things in Christianity. Now, I don't want to belittle the church, because the church is super important to be a part of. And I don't want to belittle relationships you have with other Christians. But if you go to church simply because your friends are there, or if you are friends with Christians simply because they're nice to you, you're missing the very first point of being a Christian. It's knowing the Father, knowing who God is. And then next, of course, we need to learn the truth, which is that God's grace is for us. He saved us. So these are the two fundamentals. Now, most Christians, they get to this point in their Christian walk, and unfortunately, they never go further. They're Christians, but they stay in the maternity ward until they should be in a nursing home. And they never go deeper, and they never know what it means to truly know the Word and know God deeper. Now, there's two words that are used in the passage. All right, so I write to you little children in verse 12. In the Greek, it's chetnia, okay? That's the word used there for little children. And if you skip down to where it next says little children, the Greek word changes to paideia, okay? Two totally different Greek words. And you miss these type of things in English translations because we just throw in the English translation to make it kind of more simple, but the important part is chetnia means newly born one, new, fresh. And then paideia means immature one. And so it's important to make this distinction because we're talking about newly born people, and then we're talking about those who have not matured. And so maybe when John was writing this, he was calling out the young ones, because remember, he's trying to make a point. He's not just throwing this information out just to make statements and facts. He's throwing this information out for a purpose, and the purpose is, I need you to see that it's not okay to stay at the baby phase. We have to grow, which leads us to our next stage. Kids, what's our next stage? Infants, young ones, little ones, and then we have... Oh, I actually have a passage. I don't know why I didn't put it up there, if you guys can see it. Young men. Thank you, Gary. Young men. So young men and women, this next stage that you're growing into, this is the true growth phase. You've come to know who God is, and you believe in His grace, but now you're deciding that I'm going to go deeper. I'm going to learn the Word of God, and I'm going to abide in the Word of God. And so, what does it say about young men? I write unto you, fathers, blah, blah, blah. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. And then you skip down. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So, this is important because obviously when we hear the wicked one, we want to jump straight to, that's the devil. We're overcoming the devil. But if you pay a little closer, more attention to the context of the passage, it's paired with not only the devil, but it's paired with sin, the control sin has over you. And so when we're talking about overcoming the evil one, we're talking about overcoming sin, overcoming being a slave to sin. So these young believers, young men and women, and again, this has nothing to do with age. It has everything to do with where you are in your spiritual walk with the Lord. So when you are starting to grow and get into Scripture and know who God is and what He's doing in your life, not only do you see the truth of Scripture, but you're saying, wait, sin no longer has a place in my life. Okay? And it's also in this stage that you start to soak in God's grace and say, wait, this protects me from sin. I don't have to sin. Now, when I am driving down the interstate and the speed limit is 70 miles an hour and I get distracted and I say, I just listen to music for say, and then I look down and I'm going 85. You know, I just broke the law. You can slow down and say, okay, that was wrong. I shouldn't do that. At every stage, we can end up doing that. That doesn't mean that as Christians, we don't fall and we don't lose track of what God wants from our lives. It's there. It can happen. But the more we grow in the Holy Spirit, the more we grow closer to God, the more difficult it is to find ourselves speeding, to find ourselves out of control with sin, because suddenly there's a new ruler in our life. So young men and women are also the ones that are experiencing the most in the Christian faith. This is the phase where we probably take the most hits as Christians, because before we decide to go down the path of getting closer to God, and we know God the Father, we've already been through our infant phase where we know God the Father and we know His grace, we haven't really been in the trenches yet. And this young adult phase is when we start to deal with hardship, problems, which leads to our next stage. And I'm trying to whittle my way down through the passage kind of quick, because I ended up combining two sermons, and that's fine, because it's fine. So I may be going long. I'm sorry, Barry. Anyway, so we're on to the fathers. These are the elders of the Christian faith, and that doesn't specifically apply to the elders of the church. But what I mean is these are the people that have walked that young adult phase. They've come so far through Christian hardships, sickness, poverty, losing loved ones, things that cause you to question God. And when you're in that young adult phase and you question God, often you end up having to go back to the infant phase because you've lost your faith. It can happen. It can happen to any Christian. At any point in time, you can say, this was too much, and I can't handle it, and I don't know how I can trust God when these bad things have happened. But in this fully grown father stage, you've been through so much as a Christian that you are no longer tied to those ups and downs of your life. So when bad things happen to you, your faith isn't shaken. It's exactly the same. Nothing changes because, what does it say in Scripture? You have known Him who is in the beginning. And it says that twice. That's all it says about the fathers. And this is what I get from this stage, is that not only did you know Christ, know the Lord, know God from the beginning of your Christian walk, you said, that is who God is, that is who I want to follow, that is who gives grace. You have known Him from every step after that. And it goes even further than that to say, that's not just the God of my life. That's the God who created the world. That's the God who brought the Israelites out of Egypt. It's the God that continues to be constant throughout history, from the very beginning of time till now, and will be the same until you pass away. God is the same. So no matter what comes your way, these fathers, these elders in the faith, know that God is going to be the same. They've known Him from the beginning, and they know who He is and what He does. Now, if you are in the stage where you are just seeing God for the first time, and you say, wow, God is a real being who has given everything for me. So you're seeing your father for the first time, and you have this joy of being free, because God, I'm glad you guys like that. I ran it past Emily, so that's a cute baby, right? So you know grace. You're brand new. You say, everything I've done in the past is forgiven. Everything I do in the future is forgiven because I now know who my Father is. And so this is a great stage to be at because you have new feet to walk forward with, new eyes, new perspective. If you're at that stage, stick with it. You want to get to the young adult stage. And again, forget about the ages, because no matter where you are in life, your Christian walk's more important than your age. You could be 99 years old and become an infant, and life is brand new. And however much time you have left, that journey you have in faith is a whole new and more important life. So if you're in the young adult phase where you are meeting the troubles of questioning your faith, you're reading scripture and you're coming across scripture and facts about God that maybe at first you don't understand. I have been in this phase for a long time. I am constantly questioning God. Constantly. And I don't like it, but it's just the stage I'm in. The more you read scripture and the more you live your life, the more outside pressure is applied to you. This stage is what's going to bring you to the Father stage. Okay? So for me, some of the hardest things in this stage has been losing loved ones and health. A little over a year ago, as a 24-year-old male, I had a heart attack, or the equivalent of a heart attack. And it changed my perspective. And there was a time period there where I really questioned God. And it didn't make sense to me why it would happen. But if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't have been one step closer to the next stage in the Christian faith. So next time something like that happens, my faith isn't shaken because I've been there, I've done that. And the cool part about being a Christian and believing in God is that when those horrible things happen, the more they happen, the more you also can see the blessing. And the more you can see the way God actually brings you through the hard things. Because you're not alone. And when you're in this stage, you're being able to go to the next stage where you've tasted and you've seen what God does in life. And then nothing else matters. And then, when you get to this elder stage where your faith cannot be shaken, you know God from the beginning to the end. You know what he's done before you existed. You know what he's done in your life since. This is the stage to encourage others. Your job is to support others. Look around you. I see this church, this community of believers, as a family. And I saw a meme like a week ago that was like, you go into work and your boss is like, this job, this company, we're a family here. And of course the response is, no, I get paid. I applied to 6 other families last week. That's not the case for Christians. We are meant to count on each other. We will let each other down. We are meant to seek out help from each other, and we're meant to supply that help. I have been encouraged many times in this church by people who have came forward and they have given of their time, their energy, and just poured out love on me, my family. Now, I can't wait to be in this stage. And to be honest, I don't actually know who's in this stage. Now, that's not a threat to you people that have been Christians for a long time. But the reason I'm up here, the reason I'm speaking, is because if you think you're in this stage, you might not be. It may be time to restart and say, is it possible for my faith in God to be shaken? Is it possible for my focus to not be on God in my life? And if it is, maybe you need to recognize that you're not at that stage yet. And what's the sad part is those people who stay in the maternity ward their entire lives and they never grow as Christians, we may see it as, oh, well, they were Christians, that's good. I see it as a loss. I see it as a new life given and then wasted, because God doesn't want you to stay where you are. You can't just be an infant the rest of your life. And so if you're questioning what's next, we'll talk about that right now. Because you can't just think to yourself, well, if I just read my Bible every day and I go to church every week, I'm going to be good. I think that being in church on Sunday is one of the absolute most important things you can do in your life to become closer to God. Be a part of a corporate body. Be a part of a church. Right? Reading your Bible, super important. But if you're going to go to church and read your Bible and then spend every night after that out partying, you're not getting anywhere. And so when you look up self-help and how to try to grow as a person in the secular world, you might see examples, like for the kids, I've used a similar example of what it takes to grow a plant, right? You need sunlight. You need nutrients in the earth. You need water. These are ingredients, right? So maybe the ingredients are reading your Bible, going to church, Christian fellowship. But the honest truth is I don't think Christians are plants. I don't think we grow like plants. And I've heard it time and time again, the tale of the two wolves inside of you. You feed one more than the other, and it will dominate your life. There's two sides to you, good and evil. And if you spend more time, and Barry has used this totally different analogy, you know, applying a positive amount to a personal bank account, personal internal bank account, right? And my sister also used this analogy. She thinks that you want to invest in the good part of who you are, and the good part of who you are is Jesus. I think if you're looking for a place to start, it is to make your bed. Since I have been married, I maybe have made my bed twice. Maybe. Probably not even that. I try to leave that up to Emily, and she can tell you how successful she is at it, but it's often made because she doesn't like it to be unmade. Side point. If you can come up with a strategy to make yourself better, it starts with the little things. When you go to officer candidate school in the military, the first thing they teach you to do is how to make your bed. You have to do it a certain way, and it's got to be right. So you can learn a lot from that. Because it's not about we have to have our beds perfect because the enemy might inspect them, and then, you know, if it's not good enough, that's not what it's about. It's about creating a structured environment for you to grow as a person. Because that determination to be better each day is how growth happens. Having been a college student for almost 7 years now, I have always worked a full-time job while being a student, and I find myself dragging through courses and assignments and being like, man, I've worked all day. I really don't want to work on this. And I find myself having to trick myself into saying, if I get this one assignment done, I will treat myself to coffee, or I'll have a piece of chocolate, whatever it has to be to reward myself to get it done. And the hope is that if you continue to do that, suddenly you won't need the reward, because the finishing it is the reward. So as Christians, we have to do everything we can to do the little things right. And it starts with constant prayer. Without the Lord's help, we won't grow. The Lord has called us to grow, and he says, I'll be the one to help you do it. And so the first thing on the list above at every stage is to pray. when we are infants and we see God for the first time, we pray. And we said, Lord, I know your grace and I want you to be in my heart. I want you to be in my life. I want you to change me. I want you to grow me. And when we are in the time that we abide in the word and we grow strong because we're taking hits for the Lord, we have to go to him in prayer. And once we are settled into our eldership as Christians and our faith can't be shaken, we're still praying for those other things. We can't ever let up. But we're also praying for others because we know they're on the journey that we've already came through. Now, if you are not yet a little one, a child, whether that is a newly born person or an immature Christian, maybe you're before that stage. Maybe you don't know who God is. Maybe you don't fully understand the extent of God's grace and the abundance of it. We got to start with prayer. I charge you to not walk away today, tomorrow, whenever you see one of the elders, Barry, myself. Ask us to pray for you. Let us sit down with you and explain what it means to start your walk, to start your journey of growth and change. We have to spend time praying for the growth we need. I have desperately wanted people in my life and myself, my family, my friends, to grow. And if we want to grow ourselves and we want other people to grow, prayer is important. When Barry gets up and says, before you take your prayer request to the well, please pray for it before you toss it in that well. Because if we're not constantly in prayer, if we're not constantly reminding ourselves, we need to commune with God, we're never going to grow. And God has asked us to grow. He wants us to change and grow in our walk with Christ. So before we wrap things up and I assume the worship team comes back, let's spend some time in prayer and pray for growth in our lives, pray for growth in this church, pray for growth in our families. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity you've given us to start out as children, as new people, brand new little children. I pray that we don't stay in this phase. I pray that we are able to grow and change, Lord. There are so many things that draw us away from you and draw us away from growth, Lord. I pray that our desire to not be alone, our desire to have fulfillment in our jobs, our desire to be the best at a sport or the best in class, I pray that they don't actually stop us from growing, because our growth starts and ends with you. We're going to grow. We're going to get taller. We're going to get shorter, grayer. Lord, I pray that that growth doesn't stand in our way, and the fear of that growth doesn't stand in our way from growing as Christians, Lord. We want to be closer to you, and we want to know you. We want to be the strong men and women talked about in this passage. And eventually we want to be fathers to other Christians. We want to be people that support and encourage other Christians. I thank you for your grace. And in your name.